Welcome to the Let's Talk BS podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Sophia, and we're coming to you live from the
757, where we discuss real estate,
culture, and current events.
Hey, good morning, Sophia. How you doing?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing real good today.
Uh-oh, real good. Okay. What makes today real good, or this morning real good?
I don't know.
It's a good attitude, good mood. Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Most definitely. How's everything been for you? How was it last weekend and this week?
Oh, dang, I didn't even think about that. So last week, I know we had the football game that morning.
Yeah.
And then
they had me out there coaching. I mentioned that. They had me out there. I'm actually the assistant coach, I guess you can say.
You were the head coach.
Yeah, and the head coach, he had texted me the day before and said that he wasn't going to be able to make it. So I had to be thrust into the head coaching position, which was cool. It was fun. It was cool. Okay. I had a good time.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I've been in that situation before for volleyball, not for football, but for volleyball. So I definitely understand that.
Yeah.
And then right after I had to, I went to Michael's, the arts and crafts store, went there to just pick up some yarn. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hold on. Cause you be joking me talking about saying I'm old, right?
Yeah.
So you went to Michael's on a Saturday morning to go get some yarn.
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like a old person type of activity right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? Okay. But make it show. Cause you be coming at me like, oh, you're an old man. So that's really oldish.
Yeah. Yeah. There's context behind that. Would you like me to?
Of course. Okay. Of course.
So but I was still, invited
still
to...
Still going to buy some yarn, though. But that's... Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was invited to a yarn blanket making party.
Oh,
so
where that sounds like an old school party. All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm waiting for that context to change my mind about this being an old activity.
Yeah. So none of us know what we're doing, right? Nobody has ever yarned before. And it's actually not the small yarn where you use
the needles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually the big yarn that you use to make the big plushy throw blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're attempting to do.
Okay.
But it's funny because I hit the girl up who's hosting a party, and I was like, hey, how many, bundles of yarn do we need? This yarn is thick, some big yarn. You can literally do it with your hands. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, oh, like 8, and I bought 4. And I was like, well, shit, does anybody know what they're doing? She was like, no, we use a YouTube. I said, okay, this 4 will be okay, because I doubt that we yarn a whole blanket that night. We're probably going to be drinking, talking, doing all the other stuff. Nobody's going to get to the blanket.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's going to be
that's what's
what
up.
We're doing. So,
never heard of that before. That's what's up.
Yeah, never heard. It was a first for me, too.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so I did that, and then, I'm going to be doing that, so I did that on Saturday for me to be able to do that this weekend. And then, right after that, I think I went to the store, maybe, and I really just sat in the house. Me and my daughter, we put some grass seeds down this week, She actually wanted to do it, and then she's been heavy on like cooking because right now she's taking culinary, so she thinks she's Chef Boyardee.
Okay.
So she's been asking me like, "Can I cook dinner tonight? If you go get this, can I cook tonight?" And I'm like, "Heck yeah, you can do it. You can wash the dishes if you want to." So that's what we've been doing. I haven't really been doing much other than just being at home. Being mom mode. And then last night we, in Virginia, they have standardized testing for public school. And so this year will be the first year that one of my kids will be taking the SOLs because she's in the third grade. So they had a parent-teacher type of like, it wasn't a conference, it was just kind of like a get-together. And they were just kind of like letting the parents know like what to expect during SOL season. For new parents, even though I've been through this before, it was new for Jada. So they talked about that. They talked about mental health. They talked about a lot of kids that are younger are starting to have anxiety. Mm. They're starting to see it more in children mm-hmm. now. And so they were just talking about like coping mechanisms and like teaching your kids how to cope with mm-hmm. their anxiety so that in not allowing them to depend on you to make them better, because that mm-hmm. can lead to whatever in the future. And then they actually fed the kids. So it was pizza night.
Oh,
so
sweet.
Yeah, they gave my Jada ate like 4 slices of pizza. It was crazy. And then outside of that, man, we didn't really, yeah, like I said, we haven't done much. I've been on social media. I can't wait to talk. I feel like today we got a lot of BS that we're talking because, man, it was something in the water this past week.
Yeah. Shout out to Something in the Water. It's funny. Actually, this time last year was Something in the Water. I remember it, you know, which is the big festival they had. They've had a couple of years, you know, they obviously stopped it during the pandemic, but it was down at the oceanfront. So shout out to
Pharrell. So it's not happening this year?
From my understanding, they are going to have it in October this year. I guess there was a lot of people complaining because, you know, this time of year it rains a little bit. You know, they say, well, April showers bring May flowers, right?
Yeah.
So the last 2 years that they've had Something in the Water, like 1 or 2 days have been raining.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were... I guess people are complaining, you know, you spend a lot of money for it. And then like some of the acts don't get to go, get to perform and
absolutely,
all that.
Absolutely, yeah. And people are spending money to go there.
Correct.
I've never
pay for, you know, hotel rooms and yeah. all that stuff, which the prices go out of this world during the festival.
Yeah.
So there was a big uproar just because the last couple of times it has rained that weekend and it's been in April. So from what I understand, and they're pivoting and having it in October, mm-hmm. but they haven't actually... like given the exact weekend of when it is in October. So
shoot, in October, that's going to be a busy month. Because I mean, you talking, you know, if Something in the Water's coming and mm-hmm. then you got festivals in October, because you said that the wine festival is in October,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have like high school, college, all those football games and everything yeah. that's going on, homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
So October is going to be full yeah. of festivities here because we got 2 HBCUs.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
Yeah, I think they were just obviously trying to, you know, it was a pretty big uproar and people, a lot of people waste money because of the rain. So I
yeah.
guess they were trying to pivot to a time where, you know, the rain was going to be probably not as much as a issue. You
and
know?
Not too hot.
Correct. And not too hot too because
yeah.
you're being outside all day,
yeah.
you know. But
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. But for me, what I do, so yeah, obviously, like I said, I coached the game last Saturday. That was fun. The kids won again. They're still undefeated. My son scored a touchdown again, so that was cool. He was excited about that. I got to get them boys to play some defense, though, man. They don't be trying to grab flags like that. We got one kid on the team who he grabs everybody's flags every time. I got to kind of hold him back sometimes, man. Because
yeah, my son ain't grabbing no flags, I can tell you. Like, and it's because he's still trying to – he said something to me. He was like, I'm not as fast as they are. And I was like, what? Like, come on now. You can run and chase after them or whatever. You play tag. Y'all chase each other right before the game, but
correct.
You can't chase each other during the game. So
exactly.
If I think that with him, if you specifically say, hey, go get this person,
I'll tell him this time, man. But yeah, my son, he does that sometimes too. You know, he kind of...
Like, again, running? All right, go get him.
Yeah, yeah, because in the house, we'll be running around. I mean, my son is real fast. Obviously, when he gets the ball, he's extremely... He runs every time, pretty much
right.
most of the time when he gets the ball, he scores a touchdown for the most
yeah.
part. But, you know, when the other team has the ball, it's just the want to, you know, of trying to grab their flag.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
He's going to get better, though. So I know both of them, Carter and Nile, they'll both do well. You know, mm-hmm. I think they'll do well this week. But yeah, we had the game Saturday. It was cool. After the game, well, we were hungry, so we went to Biscuit Belly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a newer spot in the Summit Point area of Chesapeake. So
mm-hmm.
that was pretty cool. I'd never been there before. So we sat down and ordered some biscuit sandwiches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. It was good. Then after that, pretty much just chilled at the house, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That evening... one of my buddies, coworker, former coworker of mine, Matt, he had a birthday party at his
yeah.
house. And so his house is out in East Beach, like near like Offshore Drive. So it was pretty cool. Brooke's mom came by to watch the kids for us so we can go venture out.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a place beforehand because, you know, she came a little earlier than what we were initially expecting her to come. We were able to go to this restaurant called, I think it's called like the porch or long something on the porch or something like that, but it's right off the water and it was really, really, really nice. It was real nice. Matt's house is like 5-10 minutes from there, so we were on the way. We're like, let's stop by there since we're a little early, And we had some appetizers, some drinks there, but it was really nice. It was really nice. They had like this, these people having like a big party or some houses like off of the, like, so we were, the restaurant's on one side of the water, and then the other side of the water, there's just a strip of houses that are living there, oceanfront. And so they were like, in one person's backyard, they had like this big old party. It was a lot of people out there. So that was pretty cool. You know, it's kind of, was a really, really nice evening too as well. So then after that, we went to Matt's house. His house is gorgeous. It's really, really nice. It's my first time checking it out. He just bought it last year. So he had been trying to get me to come over and check him out for a while. And so that was pretty cool to come check him out. You know, his family, his close friends were all there. So it was good to kind of catch up with him. And it's funny, I was, Brooke and I, we were always talk about this because Matt has invited us to several things. But for whatever reason, every time he invites us to something, I feel like, or not, I feel like it is, this is the case. We always have something already planned prior to. So I don't know if y'all out there or even you, Sophia, ever have like a person, like I got a specific cousin who always calls me and I'm always busy when he calls me. So it's like he calls me at the wrong time. So like I'm normally not able to talk to him right then and there. So it's kind of like a running joke. And Matt in a different way is like, yo, every time he has something or invites me to come somewhere, I'm like, dang, bro, like I would come, you my guy, but I already said I was going to go here, you know? So this time we actually had plans to go down to the Outer Banks to kind of get some stuff, you know, situated for our house down there for the season. And when he told me about his birthday, I was like, man, I ain't gonna make it. And I was talking to Brooke and she was like, let's try to make it. We always miss his stuff. You know, I know he probably is thinking of something or thinking some type of way right now. So let's try to make it. So we switched it around and we ended up going down there. So, I mean, we ended up going to his birthday and actually ended up going down to the Outer Banks on Sunday. You know, kind of made it a day trip down there. So it was cool. Like I said, we had a good time. That was pretty much the extent of my weekend. And then one of my buddies, Shal, you know, he's talking crazy crap. Last time we played golf, he beat me, which he rarely does. I think we probably played maybe 50 times and he's beat me probably maybe 3 to 4 times in those 50 times. And so he was talking crap. And so we played on Tuesday and we put a little couple dollars on it and I busted him up. So it was pretty cool to kind of have bragging rights right now, you know, when it comes to that. And it was gorgeous. Tuesday, weather was gorgeous.
So who won the time before that?
He actually beat, that's what I'm saying. He beat me beforehand. So it's, you know, I don't know if you ever have this situation. Like, I beat him all the time, and then he beat me. And so he's been talking, he had been talking a whole bunch of junk because he never beats me, right? So he was like, oh, man, I got you. I'm coming. I've been practicing. He had got a golf lesson and all this. He was like, yeah, I got a golf lesson now, so I'm much better. I'm like, bruh. The only reason you beat me is because I played bad. It ain't like you played better than what you always done. Like you played the way that you always play, and I played really, really bad. And so my bad was worse than your normal bad. And so he was like, no, whatever, whatever. So yeah. I was like, all right, bro, I'm going to play better this time because that was, you know, a one-off me not playing good. And I played much better. I played like I normally play, and I ended up beating him by like, I think it was like 11 strokes. So, I mean, yeah. So, but yeah, that was Tuesday, man. We played golf. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, just work, you know, stuff going on, man. Just got with my builder, talked to him. You know, I got a lunch meeting today. So, I mean, just trying to get everything moving in motion, you know, with all the stuff that we have going on. The last 2 weeks have been pretty busy, I would say, you know, as far as just meetings and, you know, just getting things situated. So, yeah.
All right. Well, it's time to jump into some real estate news and a lot of BS, guys. So what I saw in the news, which I thought was completely like amazing to see a black man doing this, is Boosie is building a little town on his 88 acres that he owns in Atlanta, Georgia. So obviously, we know that Boosie is in social media a lot where he talks about his house and, you know, taking care of all his kids and stuff like that and how they all live with him and whatnot. And now he has recently built a little community. I think it's like, what, four homes? Was it four or six homes?
Yeah, I think it was four homes.
And the homes are a nice size. He's actually, in process of, he's thinking about building a pool for those particular homes and then building a gate to separate their subdivision from his, which is pretty cool. So I always thought.
Now, is he selling this to like anybody or are these like family? Oh, it's just for family? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, I seen we were talking about it this morning. So I was going to see if he was like, because it sounded like it was going to be kind of for family, but. at the same time, yeah. I didn't know if he was like, because he did say he want to kind of have it separate. So I didn't know
he
if
he said
was just,
he didn't want them in his pool. Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is understandable,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
But I always think that it's so cool when people build those communities and they have like their family in that little community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. And then it takes it to the next level when you have your streets named after your family, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's cool. I want a street name.
Yeah,
me.
That's always been my dream. Like
yeah.
I said, I'm eventually do that once the time comes. Right now, I just build spec houses, so one house here, one house here.
Yeah,
but eventually,
you're not building streets yet.
Yeah. Eventually, I want to build, you know, like a small little community,
right.
You know, similar to what Boosie doing, maybe like 10 to 15 houses.
Right.
And the street names, I definitely want to have, you know, family's names in there. You know, my
Absolutely.
Daughters, my sons, you know, my name, wife, mm-hmm. parents, whoever, you know, however, I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, I don't
but,
either.
You know, I'm going to try to have all the street names so it just, you know, it'll be there forever. You know what I'm saying? Outlive
yeah.
me. So that'd be cool.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. Trying to think what else happened in real estate. There was lately I've been getting a lot of applications with people that have poor credit.
Yeah.
And it's been something, you know, and
yeah.
it's kind of, it's still, I don't understand the mindset. If you know that you have a 400 credit score, and chances are you're most likely having a problem renting at 400, right? Because there's a lot of communities that want your credit to be at a certain standard. And then you apply for a mortgage. Chances are, if you have a 400 credit score, it's because you don't pay things on time.
Yeah.
That's likely the issue. I mean, there every now and again, there are people who just don't have established credit. I ain't talking about y'all.
Yeah.
But the people who don't pay things on time, I had someone submit an application. They had 9 late payments in the year of 2023.
Jeez.
I mean, that's majority of the year. And then that payment was only what? Maybe $600 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're asking a lender to allow you to give you the chance to borrow enough money that will establish a new payment of $3,500. Why wouldn't we think that you would be able to pay that on? Why would we think that you would be able to pay that on time?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand that. But I don't even think they think like that, man, to be honest with you. They should, though. They really should. Like, to me, like, if you can't, you know, I mean, if you have a track record, because that's what your credit score essentially is.
It's a track record.
Yeah, it shows
your ability
and what you've done over time mm-hmm. with times that you've asked money to be lent to you.
Correct.
I mean, that's just what it comes down
yeah.
to. And,
yeah.
you know, if you have a history of not paying things on time and,
mm-hmm.
you know, being late and having derogatory things where they fall into collections or fall into judgments and all that stuff, like, I don't understand what makes you think that someone's going to want to lend you hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy a house. Like, I really don't understand that philosophy.
I've straight up asked the client one time because it was almost like as what I was saying to them just wasn't clicking, right?
Yeah.
So I had to obviously bring it down to a certain yeah. level, right? And I was like, okay, if you had a cousin who never paid money back, would you continue to lend them money?
Right.
They were like, nah. I was like, okay.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
yeah,
if we have proof
yeah, yeah.
that you either don't pay things back or you pay things late, I mean, it works in the same way.
Correct. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
like you don't let people borrow money unless you plan on just giving it to them, but you don't let people borrow money that you know has a low probability of paying it back.
Correct.
And if we use some of those common sense type of behaviors, I think that before you submit an application, you should know where you are. Now, if you're doing the work to get better, those are the people that I love to interact with,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But it's the ones that feel obligated.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, I agree with you on that.
And so I've been getting a lot of that in the past couple of weeks. And it has been a little bit frustrating because, you know, we really don't get paid until
the deal closes.
Until the deal closes.
Yeah.
So we're doing all this upfront work, you know. And when you see that it's going nowhere, it can be frustrating. And that's one side of you know, being self-employed or being commission-based or whatever the case, whatever you want to call it, when you don't get paid until something is done or complete, that can be frustrating. And so you just have to make sure that if you are that type of person that's getting paid that way, that you just stay on track and get past it. But it can be a bit frustrating. Yeah. Like I keep saying that, but it is.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. No, I agree with you. I agree with you on that for sure. But yeah, one thing I saw this week that happened was we got Spark funds. That was good.
That was good.
So for folks who don't recall, we've mentioned Spark before. Mm-hmm. But Spark funds are essentially for your first-time home buyers or for folks who are getting the Virginia Housing loan, mm-hmm. right, or down payment assistance or closing cost assistance. They're able to get 1% reduction off of their rate. So, mm-hmm. you know, right now in the environment that we're in with rates being on the higher end, you know, that 1% reduction could really help, you know, absolutely. Someone when it comes to their affordability and, you know, what their monthly payment would be versus what they, you know, where they want it to be versus where it can be. So, like I had a scenario or a situation with the buyer who, I actually made a mistake on a deal. Like I was doing a loan for him and, he actually has, two collections. And so the collections that he has have a pretty significant balance on them. And we were doing an FHA loan. And so FHA, when an account's in collections and it's over, I think it's like $2,000 or $2,500, you have to account for 5% of, you know, whatever the balance is as a monthly payment against your debt-to-income
even
ratio.
Even if you don't necessarily pay that monthly
Yeah,
payment.
Even if it's not something that you're paying on, you still have to account for it. So, or set up a payment arrangement, you know, which sometimes that arrangement will be less monthly than the 5%.
Correct.
And so I found that out after he got under contract. So that was my bad, but we was able to restructure where we went conventional, and with going conventional, his credit score is not the greatest. It's like around 660. So, you know, the mortgage insurance and things like that weren't favorable, for him, you know, because that is based like the mortgage insurance and how much that is monthly is based off of your credit and your debt to income. What we end up doing is, you know, I reached out to some of the different counselors around the area that provide Spark. And then they told me that, hey, maybe next week. And this was last week. So they said maybe next week we might have some. And so they end up having some. And it actually, in a sense, saved the deal. Like, I mean, he was going to have to bring to close and he was going to have to buy the rate down to be able to be under the debt to income threshold.
Correct.
And then that was going to, you know, put him in a situation where he may or may not have the funds to be able to do that. We were kind of like just hoping.
Yeah.
But now with that relief that Spark provided, you know, getting his rate down, I think it's from 7.375 to 6.375. What that did was that allowed us not to have to buy the rate down anymore. Cause mm-hmm. now with that 6.375 rate, you know, he's under the 50% threshold for the debt to income. And now he qualifies, and now the amount of money that he needs to bring to closing is down by like $3,000. So that helped out a lot. So I mean, I'm a definitely shout out Vanessa Dunlap. You know, she's one of the organizations that provides Spark funds, and so she was on top of it, and she followed through to make sure that she delivered for me. So,
the Spark funds can be a lifesaver. And I get that question all the time from real estate agents, you know, because they know how beneficial the Spark funds can be.
Yeah.
It's basically grant money that is allocated to buy down the rate for the buyer, right? And so it's a cost that the buyer doesn't even have to worry about. It's still on the back end, but it does reduce their interest rate by that full 1%.
Yeah.
So obviously that can change your buying power, right? Mm-hmm. If your interest rate is reduced by 1%. And so a lot of agents, they reach out and they ask, like, are there Spark funds available? And for the most part, you know, mm-hmm. we always like, no, not yet. Or, you know, but when they do become available, it's essential that you know that these funds don't last. $1.6 million in the Spark funds mm-hmm. can be wiped in a matter of a week or two. Less than that.
A matter of days sometimes. I've seen it.
It has mm-hmm. been. And then some of the Spark funds are only allocated towards minorities. Mm-hmm. They're definitely income-based. Mm-hmm. So if you have borrowers that are buying above a certain price point, or if they make a certain amount of money, that they don't qualify. But just, it's gotten to the point where this particular program has become so popular that they even want you to be under contract already. So it's kind of hard for us as a lender to even approve them with this particular type of grant because
you can't count on it.
You can't. It's first come, first serve. So if those funds are eliminated quickly. I mean, I can approve you this week, and next week you're no longer approved because funds are no longer available.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's why I don't even bring them up. I mean, I used to bring them up, and I remember I got in a situation one time where I was told Spark funds were available.
Yeah.
And you know, we tried to set every now, mind you, the situation.
You had an appointment.
Yeah, I had an appointment set up and everything, and then they ended up hitting me back like the day before the appointment was like, hey. No. You know, we ran out of funds. I'm like, well, why, like in my mind, like if you set up an appointment for someone to come,
those are allocated.
Like
funds.
Those funds are allocated at the time you set up appointment, you know? And she was like, no, that's not how it is. Yeah. I was like, dang, that don't sound like that's the, you know,
But you know what though, when these funds become available, I can't even imagine like how hard they're working. Right.
Correct.
Because you have so many people that are on deadline for these closed dates. They're taking these appointments, doing these counseling sessions. In addition, I'm assuming in addition to the normal job, right? Yeah. Because when there's no Spark funds, they're still working.
Correct.
I don't know what they're doing, but they still got a regular job, right? They don't just become employed when Spark funds come out, because that only come out a few times a year, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So then now they're having to put their normal job to the side, right? And then work hard to get these Spark funds allocated. And so if I was there, I'd be like, look, first come, first serve, let's get rid of these things so, you know, we ain't got to deal with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then go back to trying to catch up with their regular job. So,
yeah,
I can't even imagine, you know, but they are great if you are able to get them. And I think that just like you, I now have someone who I got Spark funds and they no longer have to have reserves because they were able to get Spark funds.
That's good.
Yeah,
it helps.
If you don't know reserves, it's what that means is it's a certain amount of money that the lender wants you to hold in your bank account as a savings.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily spent on anything, but they do want to see that you have that money there just in case something happens, whether it's you lose your job or you have to fix something in the property. They just want to see that you have money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so that rule doesn't apply to everybody. So with the Spark funds, she went to having the need of having reserves to then now we don't really necessarily have to have reserves. So
that's good.
It can change things.
Change a lot. Yeah. And something I've been seeing on a lot of recent, you know, I guess deals that we've been working on, I've been working on is, you know, just positive rent, right? So, you know, I've had a deal recently where, you know, because we run it through a system and an automated underwriting system. One's called DU and one's called LP. And so it's just cool now to see that when someone's had positive rent, so if you've rented or you're coming out of a situation where you're renting right now and then you're looking to purchase a home, and we can document that, hey, you paid your rent on time for the last 12 months, 24 months, however long it is that you've been there, but mainly in the last 12 months, you know, then that actually is a factor in you being able to qualify, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a buyer who her credit score isn't the greatest, it's like 620 something. You know, she makes really, really good money. Debt to income is really high. Doesn't really have very much money saved. She has a little bit of money saved, but not very much. But when I ran it through the system initially, I wasn't getting an approval. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was kind of just looking at, you know, because Sophia will say like, because we run, you know, those systems all the time, we kind of know like the different, you know, triggers and things that the system wants to see to be able to get the approval. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll test it out just to kind of see where that breaking point is. And so for this particular buyer, I kind of tried some things and I didn't see, you know, I wasn't getting any an approval for her. But I did change that she has positive rent because that's something that we have to manually go in there and change. It's not assumed. And so when I did that, you know, I was getting the approval, you know, and so I circled back with the buyer, obviously, just to confirm that she's been on time with her rent. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, we're going to have to get a verification of rent from your current landlord. And she's like, that's fine. You know, she's never been late or anything like that. So just something like that, something as small as that you may not really even think about. You know, that's why, you know, being diligent with your bills, being diligent with paying your stuff on time. And that could really be the difference of, you know, she's getting a new construction house, too. So that could be the difference of you getting and owning a new home, you know, versus not. You know what I'm saying? So,
absolutely.
You know, I know a lot of times before I've been in the business for a while, you know, people didn't really, we didn't really pay attention to that, I would say, per se. Like, I mean, the verification of rent wasn't always a big thing. So you could have been late and that not necessarily, you know, not get you approved mm-hmm. when it comes to buying a house because it wasn't something that we would check for. Mm-hmm. But now letting that be something that's kind of in the mix of, you know, helping you qualify or not, I think is cool. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, wanted to share that experience that I had recently.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's really important. Making sure you pay your bills on time is obviously really important.
Absolutely.
Right? A couple other things that I saw in the news that was shocking to me. One of them I saw was that President Biden is pushing for the capital gains tax to be increased to 44.6%.
I saw that too. That's wild.
It is. Yeah. And it kind of, to me, contradicts the plan to give first-time homebuyers the $10,000, right? Because remember, he's looking to push for that as well. So first-time homebuyers, you'll get a tax credit at the end of the year. Or if you're a move-up buyer, you get a $10,000 tax credit, right? Mm-hmm. But then a lot of these move-up buyers are probably going to be, they probably have a lot of equity in their homes just because over the pandemic and now appreciation has been happening. So if you sell your home and your profits are above, for a single person, $250,000, right? Mm-hmm. And then $500,000 for a married person. If your profits are above that, you now have to pay 44.6. Mm-hmm. Or you, I'm not saying you have to now, but he's proposing the bill to say 44.6 of your capital gains is going to be taxed. That is absolutely insane.
Yeah, that is. I mean, there's ways around that, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, because most people in those situations who are buying a house and they have that much equity that they're netting, they just use some of that or a majority of it or even all of it as a down payment on the next home.
Correct.
And so when you do that, if you transfer the equity that you're, you know, netting from a sale of real estate and you put it into another purchase or another, you know, real estate endeavor, you know, then that you don't have to pay that tax. You know what I'm saying? So
they
that
call
is
that a 1031 exchange.
Yeah. So then that's kind of the way around it. So I'm not tripping on it per se, because I do feel like it's kind of a rare situation, you know, when it comes to that. But just hearing that number alone is, I mean, it's extremely high.
I mean, there's so many people who are, that's the thing, right? And there's so many people who are uneducated out there when it comes to taxes. So that is going to affect a real big majority of normal people who, let's say.
Well, I guess my thing is, I don't think normal people are going to be in that situation to begin with. That's how
but,
I look at it.
But if you think about it, a lot of the generation, unfortunately, the generations who own homes that bought them, you know, in the 80s and 90s, right? All of those people, unfortunately, are passing away and they're leaving these houses to their children. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then their children are getting these houses and selling them. Mm-hmm. And so then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay the capital gains tax.
Yeah. I mean, but
on
that's
those sales. And a lot of those people aren't as educated.
Yeah. But I guess I'm just talking about how many people, like the demographic of that. Like, I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, that's a very small population of
you think
people.
So?
I do. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a very small population of people who are going to be in those types of situations. Like, I mean, you know, again, what you just said, there had to be these chains of events to happen for that
but
particular situation.
But those particular people are dying. I mean, they're in that age group where they're starting to, unfortunately,
no, I'm not disagreeing with that part of it. I'm just saying, like, I mean, there's a large demographic of people who don't own homes, right?
That is true.
There's a large demographic of people who've refinanced their houses and there's mortgage on it, so they're not going to net that amount of money, right? And a lot of people, because I'm an investor, a lot of people in those situations that are selling houses that are being left to them, they are using that money that they're making to buy more real estate. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's obviously a big deal. It's a big number. But it's one of those things to me where, because I'm in the space and I see a lot of situations, I'm helping people buy houses, help people refinancing, I'm buying people that are in those situations. I've been on the other end of like, hey, this person was aired this house or whatever. Like it's just a very small population of people that are, you know, in that situation. And then again, if you are in that situation, there's ways that you can kind of maneuver it where you're
absolutely
not having to pay
there
that,
are.
That amount of time.
You
tax.
Just have to make sure that you educate yourselves,
of course,
guys.
Of course.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Something else that I saw in the news was the Biden, again, well, I guess we're on a Biden roll today. he has pushed it through where the Federal Trade Commission is now banning non-compete agreements. And I'll let you describe what that means.
Yeah. I mean, that just, that's where you have a person who works for a company, right? Mm-hmm. And then let's say they get an opportunity at another company and they go work there, right? They get a job offered. What happens is, you know, the other company cannot, like, you can't compete. So, like, for instance, let me give an example. Like, I got a buddy of mine who recently left, you know, the company that we work for, and now he works for another company, right? Another mortgage company, same mm-hmm. industry. So with that, he cannot, like, come now and try to recruit people and try to bring people over from, you know, the company that we just, that he just left, right? You know, and so therefore, that does kind of limit people in those situations, because, you know, a lot of times people get jobs and things off of relationships, right? You know, mm-hmm. so, hey, you know, I work with this person. I know their work ethic. I know them. So, you know, let's say a person moves on and works somewhere else. If someone requires them to sign a non-compete, then, you know, they can't have or have, you know, try to bring anybody else on or have a relationship and say, hey, come over here mm-hmm. Because of that non-compete. So it does limit people that are moving around in the space of, you know, whatever occupation they are. It limits you in some situations on, you know, certain employers you can work for.
What that reminds me of is like in high school when you played a sport, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say you, for some reason, moved out of district or whatever the case is, right? Mm-hmm. And when you went to your new school, you were redshirted. You couldn't play. Mm-hmm. You had to, like, skip a season almost, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like non-compete because they don't want you to reveal their secrets to the other company.
Yep.
And so they're taking that requirement away because that stops a lot of Americans from being able to get jobs, because if you were really good at this company and this company is now offering you $30,000 more, but you can't go because there's a non-compete, mm-hmm. then it's stopping you from getting money. It's stopping you from getting a bag, right?
Correct.
So,
yeah, so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
I'm actually excited about that one.
Yeah, I'm excited about that as well.
Another thing that came up in the news, it's a lot going on, y'all, was... there was a man who lit himself on fire outside of the courthouse in New York where Donald Trump's trial. Yes, he lit himself on fire.
Oh, wow.
Outside of the New York courthouse where Donald Trump's trial was taking place. I don't know what Donald Trump was on trial for in New York.
But I know he's been on trial for a lot of things.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what he was there that day.
Yeah, I don't know
for.
What this time was. Yeah.
But shout out to the reporter. What's her name? Laura Cotes or whatever her name is. She is a anchor and chief legal analyst. When I tell you guys, when she was sitting there reporting on this incident, her coworker couldn't even keep up with her. I mean, she was reporting the hell out of what was going on. Like,
yeah, it's funny. Number reporters, man, sometimes when they're in those situations, like when there's like craziness or chaos going on around
sometimes
them.
Sometimes you're so shocked that you don't have anything to say. When I tell you this woman was killing it, like she was at the top of her game. Every step that happened, she was there reporting it. It was almost like watching the auctioneer. You know how the people
They talk. Yeah. $1, $2, $3. Wait, four, five. Okay, six.
That's
we got
how
seven.
She was.
That's funny.
She was killing it. Play by play. Like,
that's funny.
She could be a sports analyst. I'm just saying.
That's funny.
She was killing it. So she'll always be employed.
That's what's up. Something I saw too in the you know, I guess in the news, man, and I feel like it directly impacts a lot of people, especially a lot of people that travel, was what they're going to do now is they're making airlines, you know, cancel your flight or there's some type of refund that's owed to you and whatever the matter is, they have to issue the refund immediately.
That's cool.
I think is dope. I think it's really good because I can't tell you how many times I've been in situations where you know, my travel itinerary has been changed, you know, trip, flight canceled, whatever the situation may be. And then a lot of times you got to get on the phone, try to call the airline. It takes a long time to get on the phone with them and then to try to process a refund. And then you get your money like 2-3 weeks later. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like, yo, that's crazy. Like, it's almost like you're holding your money hostage, you know, for that amount of time. You know what I'm saying? So now if it's something that happens that changes, you know, what initially was, you know, planned as far as your itinerary goes, they got to issue the refund immediately. And I feel like that's just going to hold them more accountable as far as how they're doing their practices and how they're doing
things. Because it's a cash refund that they have to give you, right?
It's cash. Oh, I didn't. I don't know.
I mean, that's the only way that it can be released immediately. Because if it's transacted, I mean, the banks can't issue refunds that fast. I mean, if it's electronic.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the reason why it takes so long.
I guess I look at it where I know banks, I mean, you know, for me, and even, you know, if it's a situation where I've used my card, because typically when I always use a credit card, you know, if it's something where they issue the money, you know, immediately, where they at least like start the process of initiating it and takes a day or two. I mean, I'm cool with that. I don't know if that's exactly what they mean by that, because I feel like normally it's not that. Normally it's a process that has to happen. It has to take, I guess, like an investigation process for whatever long, weeks and stuff like that. Okay. So I don't know, I have to look further into it. But I just know now that the amount of time it used to take to get your money back when it comes to something like that is going to be a lot smaller now. Yeah. Maybe this, like, same day with cash, or, you know, because I don't know how they're going to do cash because they're not a bank. So if you have like a lot of people that's like, their stuff got, I can't see them just imagine them just passing out cash. Like, I feel like maybe it's just something that they just, you know, they initiate the process right then and there is what I'm thinking.
You know what I want to see when it comes to airlines? I want to see more realistic, like, flight prices and make them, you know, like, have caps, right? Mm-hmm. Because it used to be where flying wasn't your normal form of transportation, right?
Yeah.
And so flying was a privilege, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Now I feel like it's more of a norm. And I think that they need to make changes or adjustments to flight prices because it shouldn't be where you look up a first class flight and it's $900 on this day. And then based on the market, right, and what's going on in the economy, that same flight now can cost $4,000 or whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah.
I just think that there has to be some type of cap, some type of maximum, kind of like with interest rates and stuff like that, how there's caps set in place where you can't just overcharge.
Yeah.
I feel like when it comes to some of these flights, like...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I never thought about it like that, but I think that's actually a really good point.
Yeah, I think that's...
You're right. I mean, beforehand, like, I remember when I was growing up, like...
People drove
everywhere. Like, I mean, flying a plane won't really... a thing at all.
You know
what
I'm saying? But now it's really common.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you know, because their everyday person now is flying more, it's not, like you said, something that's just, you know, made for your wealthy, or, you know, people who, you know, you know, upper middle class or something like that. You know, I agree with you on that. They need to build
some type of cap. I really do. You know, because, I mean, yes, it's all based on the price of fuel and all that other stuff, but it has to be. I mean,
I know these airlines got to be killing it, man.
What?
I know they got to be killing it.
Especially for the first, I can't wait to see the first airline that comes out with an electric plane. Because if that happens, they're going to change the game.
You know
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I am excited. I hope they do or make some changes when it comes to that. I really do.
Yeah. Something I saw too also this past week that happened was, they gave my guy Reggie Bush his Heisman Trophy back. I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah. I seen that in the news.
Yeah, man. So growing up, you know, playing football, you know, I was in college playing football, and I remember Reggie Bush, man, he was so electrifying watching. He played at USC. He played running back and like kick return and punt return, even kind of like receiver on some times or whatever, but he was mainly a running back, man. And Reggie, every time he got the ball in his hand, it was box office. You know, Reggie was really, to this day, I mean, he's looked at as one of the best college football players ever.
It's crazy because Reggie is, like, little. Like, I didn't even know how small he was until I seen him in Miami one day. I was at the movies. We were going to a movie on South Beach. And I can't remember what movie we were going to see, but this particular theater, it was set up where it was in Lincoln Mall, so you're downstairs, you get your tickets there, and then you have to immediately go up this, like, escalator that's, like, long as hell, right? And so we were sitting there in line, and this was when he was into Kim Kardashian. I think they had broken up, and then he ended up marrying the girl who looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were in the movie theater seeing a movie, and I turned around to wait for one of my homegirls, and I feel like I looked over him.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I had on heels. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I looked over him. And then when I finally, like, looked down, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. that's Reggie Bush. And then I just turned around and paid for my tickets and went upstairs, but it was just so funny.
Yeah.
Like, to think that somebody, he looked so normal, yeah. so regular, so, like, just, I don't know. He was just a small guy.
Yeah.
To be this, like, amazing football player.
Yeah, you know, Reggie was that dude, man. Yeah. I remember playing in college, and I remember, like, having my game and then coming back to my dorm and wanting to see his game and see what he did.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was pretty cool. Like, and I would try to, like, you know, it was big inspiration for me. I was like, you know, if he had a really crazy game, I would try to make sure I had a really crazy game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was nowhere near on Reggie's level, not even close. But, yeah. like, it was just dope to kind of, like, that was, like, a thing. And me and a couple of the running backs, like, we would do that. We were like, yo, Reggie did this on that play. Like, look, yo, in the game, we got to try that. You know what I'm saying? So, or practice, we got to try it and, you know, see if we can do it in the game or whatever, man. So, and, you know, the whole situation of why they took his Heisman Trophy was some bull crap.
Yeah, NCAA, is,
obviously. The NCAA, man, has always been on some bull crap, man. Uh-huh. That's just one of the most crooked.
Too.
Yeah, one of the most crooked organizations, man, that I know out there, man. And you know, obviously they did some investigation a while ago and said that he was benefiting getting money in college, you know, where, you know, granted everybody was getting money in college and I feel like they try to make them. Yeah, exactly.
Some of these people are coming to college and they don't have any means of anything from their family, you know?
Correct.
So,
and then, but the universities and NCAA, they're making millions and millions of dollars selling that person's jerseys and stuff like that. So I'm glad that they've changed things now a little bit. I mean, it still could be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited and happy to see that now he's, you know, he got his trophy, and then now he also can be in the mix. Because you got to think about it. The Heisman, you know, as a Heisman Trophy winner, it's like a fraternity, right? So mm-hmm. every year there's a Heisman Trophy winner. And so every single year, you know, they come together, they have, you know, functions, and they celebrate that new person that, you know, becomes the Heisman Trophy for that year. So he hasn't been able to be a part of none of these things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Which it's kind of sucks because, I mean, he's, you know, he's one of the best that's ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm just glad to hear that, you know, he got his trophy back and now he can be officially, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner and be a part of the other Heisman Trophy winners.
Speaking of football, did you watch some of the draft last night?
I did.
Yeah, I caught some of it too. So yeah, I was on the phone with my cousin and I was talking to him and it was crazy because I was watching Jeopardy.
Okay.
And then I guess it must have just flowed right into it. And the draft was in Detroit, Michigan this year.
It was.
And it was just crazy to see, like, because I saw when they started building the stage and stuff in Detroit, and then to see it empty to the amount of people that
man,
was
that
sitting in
was
the crowd.
Crazy.
And I can't even imagine how Detroit, I mean, I can't even, like, living in Michigan and going to Detroit and visiting Detroit quite often, like, I don't even see how that city is able to hold that many people in that downtown area. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, I was on the phone texting, you know, so I got a group chat with the fellas, and I was on the phone texting my buddy Shao. He's from Detroit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From Detroit. So he was talking to his mom, and they did a flyover view of, like you said, like just the whole downtown area and how many people were there.
Yeah.
And he was like, it was pretty cool because you know, he was on the phone with his mom and she saw the flyover and like, he was like, he can, you know, he was trying to like pinpoint where his house that he grew up or whatever.
Oh, okay,
and
okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But he was like, you know, he was on the phone with her live and while they did the flyover, she saw, like, she could see the plane flying over
okay.
and, you know, taking the footage from down below or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, man. But yeah, and, draft was cool, man. It's funny. My, my son, you know, we watched it last night. Actually, my daughter, we watched it a little bit together as well. Brooke, she had ran out with some of her girlfriends for a little bit that last night. So, you know, I was on daddy duty. And so we were watching it. And my son, it's funny, man. He loves sports, man. Like, he did the whole situation, like, you know, how when he had drafted to get a hat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, like, we were sitting there watching it, and he was just so enamored. And I was trying to explain to him, like, you know, hey, when you finish college, the best players, they get picked, and the team who has the worst record, they get the first pick. And he was just like, and he was really soaking all of that in. And he was like, Daddy, I'm going to get drafted one day. He's like, I want you and Mommy and Sloan to be right there and watch. And I almost started crying. I ain't going to lie to you.
Yeah, that was your dream too, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, it was definitely my dream. Yeah. And then he you know, I have like a whole bunch of 49ers, not a whole bunch, but I got a couple of 49ers hats at the house. And so he did like a reenactment. He was like, Dad, hold on. So he like walked into the room and put the hat on and all that. He was just, you know, acting like he was being drafted and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool, man. So yeah, the draft is always cool. I love to see, you know, these young men, you know, basically, you know, get their dream, right? Most of them probably had dreams to be in the NFL. And I mean, this is the moment where it actually is official and happens. And a lot of times they get money and it's going to change their family's life forever. Absolutely. So I love to see that, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, you know, I love to see everybody, but I like, you know, most NFL, most players, I think it's like 80% of NFL players are African-American. Mm-hmm. So I love to see us, you know, also be able to benefit and do that, man. So let's go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Yeah. So I got a couple more things that came up. Look, I told you it was a long list this week.
I see.
So TikTok, as we all know, is the Senate passed the bill to ban TikTok.
Okay.
So
so that joint's really going away then.
I mean, it may. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that the owner of TikTok has been on social media pretty heavily, like trying to fight against it.
Okay.
Because it is going to take a lot of money away from the consumers, because a lot of people get paid for all the posts that they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a million-billion-dollar company that's paying a lot of people here in the United States. So that's essentially going to be taking jobs away.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, even with us, you know, we're trying to grow our social media platform. And with that being said, TikTok is one of them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, I hope that they come to some type of resolution to where we can still have TikTok and people aren't losing their jobs and our government is happy with whatever it is moving forward. They have to come up with something.
Yeah.
In other news, good old Kanye West.
Uh-oh.
Never a dull story when it comes to Mr. Kanye West.
What'd he do?
Mr. Kanye West is, according to Hollywood Unlocked, he's allegedly stepping into the adult film industry. Yeezy porn.
For real?
Which is crazy.
What?
Crazy. I think
Kanye just be doing stuff just so he could try to stay relevant.
Okay,
man.
So
that's what I'd be thinking.
Let me ask you this.
Like,
okay, so
just so we could do like how he's being brought up right now.
Yeah.
You know, I know he had his album that came out recently.
Did a diss track, didn't he? He just jumped into the whole diss track.
Nobody's paying attention to him no more. And so I don't even, you're right, I'm not listening to music. I heard that he did come out with one, but he's not good no more. So nobody really cares about what Kanye's doing. So I feel like he does very extreme things so people can talk about him, because
I don't think he's not good anymore, but I do think that his relevance isn't as high as it used to be.
Oh, it's nowhere near.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near.
Well, I didn't understand where he came. You explain this to me, because I'm not even sure. What the hell is the beef about? Like, why is Chris Brown beefing with Quavo, and why is, I understand Drake's beef with Rick Ross. They've always kind of had, like, a dislike for one another, but why? Like, what is it all about? Like, is this all entertainment? Because I feel like when Jay-Z and Nas had their beef back in the day, there was this big talk about how that was all fake.
No, I won't fake. That was real.
I mean, but it was talked about, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I just saw an interview with, if it's not Little Baby, Young Baby, one of the babies. What's the one who he always getting in trouble? Something Baby.
Always getting in trouble.
Always.
So, I mean, you know, you keep
short guy, dark skin.
That's Da Baby. Talking about Da Baby.
Da Baby. Okay. I knew it was one of the babies.
Okay.
Look.
Yeah, yeah.
he just did an interview where he said that someone called him and was like, "Hey, let's start a rap beef, you know, just so we can, you know, get out there more." And he was like, "Nah, I'm not gonna do that." But obviously, it sounds like that's a thing. So, is this all just for entertainment? Are these people really?
I mean, you know, I from what I understand, I don't know for sure. I'm not tapped into it like that. I don't really care like that. But I mean, I know the Quavo and Chris Brown stuff, I mean, they taking real personal shots. So I don't think that they would be going there and it'd be just all funny games. Like, they're talking like some real, like, you know, girlfriend, like, you know, doing, you know, violent stuff. Like, so I don't know about that. And then, I think that's real. I mean, at least it appears to be. And then with the whole J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar situation, I don't think that's entertainment, because they're all successful in their own individual right. I feel like what it is, you know, they're men. You know, I'm a man. And they're all looked at as, like, the best, right? Mm-hmm. Those three. And so I know hip-hop has always been a competition. Like, that's what
Chris Brown is not hip-hop.
Huh? I pivoted off of Chris Brown. Yeah, I said Chris Brown and Quavo. Remember, okay. Like I said, that one.
You don't know.
Yeah, I said that one. I don't know. I said that was real personal. So
Drake,
I don't know.
Drake, Kendrick, and
J. Cole.
Okay,
So Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole. I mean, I know hip hop has always been bred off of competition. So
but even them, aren't they like kind of in their own lane? Like they're all hip hop, but they're all in their own lane of hip hop. Right?
Yeah, but again, uh-huh. What I'm saying is that they're in their own lane of hip hop, but it's still hip hop, right? And they still want to be the best. You know what I mean? So when it comes down to, you know, people saying, hey, yo, who is the best? Who's the best rapper? Who's this or whatever? Like, they feel that they should be considered the best. And so I think that what it is they're all three looked at as, you know, the best in their own individual. They have their own individual fan bases. So, you know, one of them is like, yo, I'm better than him. Like, why are you saying I ain't better than him? And so then they mention their name. And then you know how people is and guys, you mention somebody's name, then they gonna mention their name back. And I feel like it just kind of got to that point where, you know, then now they're actually doing some back and forth on the tracks. Mm. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess this has been a lot of
I mean, that's how it is. I mean, hip hop is, I mean, it's been breaded off of, you know, rap battles, right?
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm nice at rap, you nice. Let's go at each other and see who's best. So that's where it originated from.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's been went out and hip hop's been changed and, mm-hmm. you know, genres and done a whole bunch of different stuff. But, you know, it's always been like, who's better? Who's the best?
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're going through right now is trying to figure out who's the best. Because really, in hip hop, it's not like, in the way they do it, they're not battling like a rap battle each other. But they're, you know, when you have, you know,
taking shots
at each other and saying, yo, who's going to make the best music? Who the people out here are going to say, you know, did the best when this barn happened, when this competition happened between, you know, myself and you. So,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of BS today. We had a lot to say.
It was.
Obviously, there was some good mortgage tidbits in there, too. But
yeah.
I feel like this week there was a lot of things that happened that we needed to touch on and talk about. And that's why we are called the Let's Talk BS Podcast.
Absolutely.
So what you got coming up this weekend or, you know?
Yeah. Let me see. This weekend, so Monday is actually Brooke and I's anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Appreciate it. So
Seven years.
So it's our anniversary. So today, we were trying to figure out if it's going to be today or tomorrow, but it's looking like it's going to be today. We're just going to go down to the beach. There's a place called the Atlantic. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there's a place called the Atlantic that has like all you can eat oysters, like for happy hours, like a dollar oyster. So we're probably going to go down there and check that out because we've been talking about trying to do that. And then probably just hang out down there, man, you know, you know, for the evening or whatnot. And then this weekend on Saturday, you know, Niall has his game. We'll probably do something as I know one of the kids has a birthday party to go to tomorrow as well. I think Sloan has a birthday party to go to. And then like Saturday evening, we'll probably do something, you know, we always typically do something like Brooke and I for our anniversary and also do something with the family, like the kids too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably do something on Saturday or Sunday as well, you know.
Okay.
But that's pretty much it for real. And then let me think. Yeah, that's it. That's
okay.
It. Yeah. What about yourself? What you got going on?
So I have the yarn thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that I'm now accused of being old for doing.
Yeah, yeah. I think if I would have said something about me buying some yarn and yarning, I think you would have had some type of joke about that. I really feel strongly about that.
Okay. And
you ain't disagree with me, so I feel
I
like
did not.
There you go.
I did not.
Yep, yep.
But I think you show more old type mannerisms than I do, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, so I got that going on. I was supposed to, so I am a Virginia housing facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was supposed to facilitate tomorrow, but that got canceled, or I guess never really got booked. I don't know. I didn't set it up. I was just part of the team, and I was notified that we're no longer moving forward on that. So I'm actually pretty free tomorrow. You know, I'm not going to really be doing anything except for going to my son's football game. And then Sunday, my daughter, she is, I think I've mentioned it on the podcast, where I have been teaching her how to braid, and she has been now taking on appointments. And so I'm there to assist or oversee her appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have to be available when she's doing the hair for the individuals, just in case she has issues with like parting or, you know, just issues with learning her craft or whatever. So she has an appointment on Sunday, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I haven't really,
Cool.
That's it. I don't really have anything planned this weekend.
Cool beans. I know next week the weather's supposed to be great. I know I looked at it. I was sitting
how many
there
days
like,
you going to go
that's,
out
that's what I always do. When it's like Friday, like when it gets towards the end of this week, I always kind of look to see next week. Yeah. So I'm always like planning out my week in advance. I was like, yo, it's probably like
two, three, four, five days.
I mean, I'm not going to do it all 4 or 5. I'm like, yo, literally next week's like four or five days where I could go golfing. So I'm like, I'm going to definitely try to get at least 2 out of there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I think every day is supposed to be like 80-something degrees. Like,
that means it's going to be pretty packed on the course, too.
Yeah, so that's why I look at it now.
You got to do it. Yeah,
I book my tee time now. Yep. So I'm going to probably do that today or tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Yeah, see what the fellas' availability is, too. So
Yeah. All right. I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
You can follow us on, follow me on SKB_mortgage. Also on our Let's Talk BS PD is on Instagram and TikTok. And is it on Facebook? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's on Facebook too.
Okay, Facebook. Mm-hmm. Definitely. You can follow Brian at.
Yep, Brian, B-R-Y-A-N. Yep, with the Y, _ Royster. So you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook as well.
All right.
Cool.
Well, thank you for listening to our podcast, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.